It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 776.
These are our top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of December 14th, 2020. FTC sues Facebook. The Federal Trade Commission filed an antitrust lawsuit against Facebook, as did 48 attorneys general representing 46 states. The FTC has filed one suit, while 48 states have joined together to file a separate lawsuit. The FTC claims that Facebook developed and engaged a system to strategically eliminate threats to its monopoly in the U.S. personal social networking market. The 2012 acquisition of Instagram for $1 billion with a B and the 2014 acquisition of WhatsApp for $19 billion with a B were used as evidence of this strategy. The FTC also mentioned the company's attempts to purchase Twitter and Snapchat as evidence. Ultimately, the FTC is seeking an injunction that would force Facebook to sell WhatsApp and Instagram. Meanwhile, the lawsuit by the states alleges that Facebook has not only engaged in anti-competitive behavior with its acquisitions, but has developed and used exclusionary tactics to maintain its monopoly. The states seek a few solutions, including requiring the company to notify each state before any acquisition over $10 million is planned, requiring Facebook to sell Instagram and WhatsApp, and imposing conditions to avoid future violations. They're separate suits, although the two groups coordinated their investigations. Both suits claim that Facebook has behaved illegally when it acquired Instagram and WhatsApp and that it used its monopoly power to suppress competition. In a response, Facebook tweeted, see the irony there, years after the FTC cleared our acquisitions, the government now wants a do-over with no regard to the impact that president would have over a broader business community or the people who choose our products every day, end quote. I'm actually behind this, and there's some people that say, oh no, it's going to break up Facebook. They'll just wind up being stronger and make just as much money. So don't cry for Facebook on this one.
Well, it's coming for all the big companies, right? Google, Amazon.
So Amazon should spin off AWS. Alphabet should spin off whatever letters of the alphabet it wants to spin off. Everybody would be fine.
Right. I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? All of a sudden you become, you know, as much as there's competition, quote unquote, there isn't, right? It's like the new version of Monopoly. Kind of companies are hiding under, well, there's a lot more other people doing social media. Well, are they? So this is going to be interesting. I'm definitely behind it because it will spread it out. But if they own few things, like, it's still making tons of money. It's not going to change.
Yeah, that's the bottom line for investors. And it would take quite a few years to roll this out, and even more to figure out what the effect would be. Mm-hmm. Just look at the Microsoft antitrust suit. Now, they lost a lot of ground in the internet when that happened, because they were, you know, they were on the cusp of social media and smartphones, but they still had Windows and Office, and they still, you know, even being sidelined during all that innovation going on, the revenues grew from $15 billion in 98 to like $60 billion in 2008. So, yeah, you know, we're not going to shed a lot of tears. But the problem is the unwinding of these interconnected apps, which I don't know. I understand why they're doing it, but me as someone, I manage a couple of Facebook pages and Instagram accounts for nonprofits. I do it out of the kindness of my heart, and I don't get money for it. It's already confusing as hell, and they're trying to intertwine the two. And I also manage my own personal Instagram account, and sometimes I don't even know what I'm posting to because everything is so interconnected. And I get it. You know, they're trying to make it easy. If you're a guy who has, or a lady or whatever, use a beauty salon, and you have one business profile, and you have one business profile on Google, and you have one business profile on Facebook, and you have one business profile on Instagram. Mm. That's great. Everything's connected. I'm managing like 9 pages, and it's just, their stuff is just so confusing. You know?
But that's not the only, like, if you look at it from the business perspective, like what happens to Salesforce and Adobe, right? They're starting by a whole bunch of companies. Salesforce is intertwined in a lot of different things now. You know, they're all trying to compete against each other at every single level, right?
Personally, I worry about a company like Adobe, whose products I rely heavily on. I think they have too many products, too many things. They're trying to do too many things.
Well, you look at Salesforce. I mean, it's not CRM anymore, right? It's a full ginormous powerhouse of everything. Same thing with Adobe. Adobe was Creative Suite. it no longer is. It has e-commerce business and content business, and you know, there's a whole bunch of them. Microsoft does the same thing. Yeah. To me, I don't think this is going to go anywhere in reality. They might spin off one or two things, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
I would think WhatsApp would be spun off before Instagram. I think they would do that because WhatsApp is growing on into its own thing. They've even compared WhatsApp as one of the biggest telcos in the world now, and they're adding a lot of e-commerce features in there. So I would say that being spun off before Instagram is more of a likely scenario, especially I think Instagram's popularity is dripped and dipped a little bit. Thanks to TikTok and other competitors. It's obviously never going to go away, but I don't think it holds the sway that it once did. I think a couple of reasons, again, the aforementioned TikTok, the reason that I believe is their algorithm just kills people.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You need to have, it's funny, talk about like the irony circling, the irony eating the snake. I watch TikTok videos to find out how to better post on Instagram.
Yeah, same.
It's like, it's a riddle wrapped in an enigma. And it's like, well, you have to do all these things. It's like, I just want to post something and have people enjoy my work. Yeah. I don't, you know,
it has to be a certain way these days. And that's actually what I was going to say. Hopefully if this follows through and they lose Instagram or Instagram branches off, hopefully Instagram gets better because it's so bad. Like literally I was watching a TikTok the other day on how to use like Lightroom. Like I know how to use Lightroom, but it was like how to use Lightroom to make your stuff rank on the algorithm. And I was like, what the heck?
TikTok, why? TikTok is just killing everything. Like they're so good at what it is. And like, if you think about it, you know, from they just did it like right. Like that algorithm just kills everything. And
it's so good.
But also like the educational part of it, like if you get into the cooking TikTok or educational or any one of those things or just want to learn things, you're like, oh, well, this is kind of cool. In a minute, somebody really explained it in the easy term. I like this. Like I'm in a few cooking like TikTok things and I'm like, I love these guys.
Raising my hand, before I got up today, you know, we're getting a snowstorm here on the East Coast and it was one of those dreaded, I don't want to get out of bed. Fired up to TikTok, got sucked in some cooking videos, and I looked up and a half hour had gone by.
That's just brilliant. But just the idea of that, I know this is kind of, but you guys should listen to Wondery has Instagram against TikTok, like series, the Business Wars one. Huh. It just came out last week, I think. Go listen to it. It is pretty amazing.
Yeah, Business Wars is a great, great podcast, but you should listen to this podcast instead. All right, we're going to go to our next story. This week, Amazon announced the launch of Made For You. It's a new service that allows customers to create custom t-shirts to their exact measurements. Similar companies use mobile technology to scan and measure your body from an app. Amazon Fashion's Made For You service requires users to provide the company with their height, weight, body style, and two photos of themselves to get measured for their custom fit. After users provide their data, they can choose from a selection of 8 colorways, as well as preferred sleeve and shirt lengths, necklines, and fabrics. To get started with Made For You, users choose between the two types of fabrics to customize the design. This includes the medium weight 100% Pima cotton shirt or the lightweight 56% Pima cotton, 38% modal, and 6% elastane tri-blend options. Wow. They can then choose other aspects of the shirt like slim, classic, relaxed fit, crew or V-neck, or short or long sleeve. The shirts can even include your name printed on the label as a small perk. Pretty cool. When finished, customers can view the product they customized on a virtual body double before placing the order. The experience works both on the web and inside the Amazon app. The custom shirts cost just $25 and are available to all Amazon customers in the US, not just Prime members. At launch, influencers including Blake Scott, who has 650,000 followers on Instagram, Carolyn Moran, who has 253,000 Instagram followers, and Cy DeSilva, clocking in at 330,000 followers, are touting the new feature on Amazon's behalf and are featured in its marketing. Custom clothing is often seen as a luxury, and this process does make it more affordable. That can be helpful for those who struggle with fit due to measurements that fall outside of traditional sizing. But the service also seems to be a pretty transparent attempt to grab customer data for the Amazon fashion business. I think this is pretty cool. I would try this. We just don't know what they're doing with the data.
But I think it's classic. Wow.
Same thing they always do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've been getting into fashion, those kind of things for a while now. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should have looked up the stat before we started, but they're one of the top sellers of fashion. A lot of people don't think Amazon, you know, first and foremost as a fashion, but they're pretty big. And I guess that's just really relationship to size, but they've done other things. I mean, you remember that Echo camera thing? Mm-hmm. They've done some, what was the things they did with some of those private shops that they do with influencers and stars, and they do all that kind of stuff. But I think it's pretty cool because it's clothing on demand. It's definitely something that's going to fit you, so people do not mind paying the premium price. Now, let's be relational here. A comparable t-shirt, you know, just a white t-shirt out of a wrapper might only be $10 or $12 if it's a good quality shirt. This is $25. But if you're someone who, you know, is really into the fit and fashion and all that kind of stuff, $25 is nothing. There's a great video on there. If you look up Amazon Made For You, there's a big landing page with lots of explanatory copy and a good video of how the thing actually works. I think it's a really cool service.
Cool.
Yeah. And it makes sense. You know, it's literally classic Amazon piggybacking.
They've also done, and this is probably a little known thing. I only know this because I'm kind of in the t-shirt world. They do a lot of print on demand stuff. There's a whole subreddit devoted to these guys who do design work on just Amazon. And the problem is you have to rank high to get your designs accepted, but these guys just crank out designs all day long. And they're making, some guys are making a couple grand a month just designing goofy t-shirts on Amazon. So basically, if you go into Amazon and search for any goofy catchphrase, I guarantee there's going to be a t-shirt on there from print on demand from Amazon. So it's called Made For You. Go check it out. It's right on Amazon. It's on the app and it's on the webpage. Next story. IKEA kills its iconic print catalog. This one gives me all the feels because I have a special place in my heart for the IKEA catalog. This year will be the last year that IKEA will publish its iconic print catalog, saying it will leave a phenomenal 70-year legacy. Quote, for both customers and coworkers, the IKEA catalog is a publication that brings a lot of emotions, memory, and joy, end quote, said Conrad Gruss, managing director of Inter IKEA Systems BV, the worldwide IKEA franchisor. The publication, which was first printed in Sweden in 1951, is no longer seen as a necessary expense in the furniture giant's marketing bottom line as more people seek out what they're looking for online. It takes the company about a year to produce the typical 300-page catalog. The IKEA catalog grew from 285,000 copies in its first year to 200 million copies in 2016, its biggest year. At its height, IKEA produced nearly 70 versions of the catalog in 32 different languages. Ending the catalog will save the company a ton of money and allow the company to funnel all resources into digital where it sees its future lies. The furniture giant has, of course, seen a large percentage of customers buying its products online rather than going shopping in its massive warehouse locations. They reported that its worldwide sales online jumped 45% last year and that IKEA.com had over 4 billion with a B visits. The company has introduced site and app enhancements to further enhance digital performance. IKEA's decision to end its voluminous publication puts it amongst a list of other retailers, including H&M and REI, that have cut back or ditched big catalogs in recent years for other print or other digital alternatives. In the case of IKEA, the retailer will still publish a smaller book next year, just not the big catalog that people in dozens of countries have come to know. Still, the news of the catalog's fate came as a blow to some IKEA fans who say that for years, they've relied on it for design ideas. One post on Facebook said, quote, the catalog is essential for planning and way better than the website. I look forward to mine each year. This makes me sad. That makes two of us. Forbes notes that while digital may work at the transactional level and be convenient for the company, IKEA is forcing its customers to follow a path that is fundamentally incompatible with IKEA's mission to create a better everyday life for people. The store's 1951 catalog featured the slogan, Vorgen till gode inköp, promising the road to good shopping. But in 2020, the company has determined that road is now found online, not on paper. And after years of saying, hey, it's time for the IKEA catalog to say adieu. And that's H-E-G-N-A-D-J-O in Swedish for those following along in Sweden. This sucks. You know.
I mean, it makes sense. But wait. But Amazon is releasing catalogs.
Didn't we report on that? Like that was like the funniest thing a couple years ago.
You get them every year now for the toy ones. Yeah. It's kind of weirdly sad, I guess, for you the most, John, because you used to build these things. But I still love the IKEA catalog. It was so much fun to look at.
I remember going to the first IKEA in the Delaware Valley area, which we live. And the first one was, then it was in King of Prussia, has since moved to Conshohocken, but.
Which is, by the way, also US headquarters of IKEA.
Oh, that's right. I don't go to that one that much because they open the one in South Philly. But anyway, that was like going to a museum, because being a designer and that back then, that was like a really unique experience. I just love the design, the functionality of everything, and it was affordable. I still have IKEA shirts, shelves that I bought when I think Clinton was still president. So, I mean, this stuff, you know.
I know, and people are like, it falls apart. I'm like, I moved with my IKEA furniture 7 different times, and it was fine.
Yeah. Yep, same here.
Yeah, they're probably not putting it together correctly. That's the tea.
But yeah, I looked forward to the IKEA catalog, and I'll echo the sentiments of that one Facebook poster. I did use it to do a lot of planning, because up until a couple of years ago, I was still buying IKEA furniture all the time because it fit my budget, it fit my design sensibilities, and it just made sense for me at the time. I don't so much anymore. And I do think that some of their style has changed a little bit, obviously, because people's tastes have changed, but it used to be more of a Eurocentric, what I would call a Swedish minimalist aesthetic. They've kind of gotten away from that to appeal to a larger demographic, you know, the younger, you know, the kids, end quote. but I still like their stuff. I still go there. I'm still a customer, but not as much as I was. But I will miss that catalog. That was something that I really look forward to each year.
I can't help but to wonder how many people are like adjacent to the catalog or losing their jobs, or I wonder if they're like redirecting them somewhere else. Cause I feel like quite a few people had to have worked on such a large catalog, you know?
Yeah. So the catalog itself, I'll give my own perspective, being in the business, was probably a combination of an outside advertising agency and an in-house design group. I know that each store used to have in-house design groups when they printed their signs by hand. They had literally had people, they had to teach them how to write that font and make those signs. It's probably a little less now because everything just becomes more, you know, because digital printing is more ubiquitous and cheaper to do. But I'll speak to the catalog production, that it was probably a lot of people. But again, it was probably most of the production work was done in-house. Now, as far as that printing, what was the 200 million catalogs? I mean, I'm sure that contract for the printing was split across, you know, several different plants, but whoever sold that printing job is probably crying this Christmas because that's a big loss. But I think that's true for most of printing. I used to buy printing back in the old days, and it's definitely not the way it was. A lot of printers have scaled back, gone out of business, and everything is digital now. So if they didn't see the writing on the wall,
you're not setting anything anymore. It's all digital.
Yeah. So, you know, if you didn't see the writing on the wall, then you need to go look at the other wall because you're looking at
the
wall.
the only guys that actually survived it and just kept it, they're like the old people, like the older, like, printers. They're like, we can survive another 2 years before we retire. Yeah.
And then I'll exactly.
And then I'll retire, right? And be done.
Yep.
Exactly right. All right. RIP IKEA catalog. All right, that's it for this episode. We'll be back next Friday for our annual holiday extravaganza. Ooh. No spoilers, but we're going to have some big stars this year. It's pretty hard to top last year. It'll be interesting because I'll be over Zoom. We'll also do a quick rundown of the latest tech and e-commerce news and pick our top stories for the year. We hope you'll join us. And don't forget, our long-form podcast, In the Ring, is available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you on the internet next Friday. This is the part where you say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. We'll get it right one of these days.